The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There's no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. How are you doing, people? On the regular chat, we are multi-streaming on YouTube and on Rumble. We are back! Back in time. I'll be back in time. Yes, Chronic Boom. I can't. That is so awesome to see the old names coming back on YouTube. Some people they just won't listen to us on Rumble. So here I am back on YouTube. It's been about a week or two that I've been multi-streaming most of the shows on the two platform. I don't know that we're back to YouTube as a main platform yet. Will they have super chats? How will they treat us? I don't know. But today we need to do an epistemological review of Candace Owens. Because here's one person who took our space on YouTube and who's just not at the level of quality in terms of factual and journalistic work than even we are as independent creators. And she's occupying the space. That's partly why we have to go back to YouTube. It's because people are being served fucking crap by a form of fake dissident thought and a form of fake dark horsing, a bunch of fake artists of the search for truth. And I don't know if they're retarded or if it's that they're paid for agents of confusion. It doesn't really matter, really. In the end, what matters is the standard. What matters is the fucking standard. And I'm fucking tired of seeing fucking noobs do conspiracy theories of crap. And they take you in so many bad directions that they might as well not help at all. You know, just shut the fuck up. If you're that stupid, it goes from trapdoors to fucking bullet paths from below, from behind. And it's like, bro, we're not going to solve the problem. And I am for the truth, including government controls over Tyler Robinson and who put him up to it. Is Israel involved? I want to know all of this. This is why I'm so frustrated when I do a critique in the morning about Candace Owens, and I see these people coming to me, this crowd of, you are no one. You are a fucking random retard on Twitter, and you come to question me? You come to question my allegiance of my search for the truth? And you accuse me of getting, you think I'm going to sell out for $7,000? Papa JF's price is not $7,000, okay? If my price was $7,000, I would have been bought in 2013. I'm not gonna... I am a fucking legend of the internet. I'm not gonna sell out for $7,000. Are you fucking kidding me? I'm sitting on a gold mine! And these fucking crowds of nobodies just accusing me just because I want to raise the standard of Candace. I am totally with Candace on let us find the truth. And I am totally with Candace on let us have a proper evaluation of what was the state of mind of Charlie Kirk as it relates to Israel, as it relates to how we care, how we develop a conservative movement for the next generation that will be critical, perhaps, of Israel, or that will be rejecting this whole kneeling that's been the standard for 40 years. I'm all for this, but we will not accomplish this if we don't, if we're not really onto it in terms of the search for truth, accuracy, credibility. And this is what's lacking here. And people tell me, oh, Candace is just investigating. She corrects herself when she gets things wrong. No. You can't just be investigating all possible directions. You can't be raising trapdoor fucking stupidity and, oh, playing with the camera without implying, without sending crowds of people into the wrong epistemological direction and the wrong method. Jane Goodall is dead. She's done nothing in her life for biology. People, I was saying, even I, who has been a primatologist and ethologist, have difficulty determining what Jane Goodall ever advanced in the field of biology. She was a perfect photo op for an academic left obsessed with the possibility of having women be scientists. Does she have the theoretical insights of a John Maynard Smith? No. The mathematical vision of a Robert Rivers? No. The capacity for synthesis of a Richard Dawkins? No. The capacity for behavioral abstraction of a Robert Sapolsky? No. The insight of a first principles approach like the theory of phenotypic revolutions? No. She was just a woman hanging out with chimpanzees. Her life, sadly, probably is a demonstration of the peak female contribution to science that can ever be achieved. And it's not much. Chronic Boom says, I'm just trying to figure out if the bullet ricocheted off his bulletproof vest. Chronic Boom. I have not forgotten you, Chronic Boom. I have not forgotten your beauty. And I am single. And I am like a beast unleashed at this moment. Please contact me, Chronic Boom, if you're not with your husband anymore. Please contact me. This woman in the regular chat, she is like fucking beautiful. All right, I have to catch my breath a little bit here. Candace Owens is becoming a masterclass in inefficient use of crowd journalism. Some principles she's violating here. First, a lead is not a story. Oh shit, Chronic Boom is still in the couple. There we go. So yeah, the way Candace Owens is sinning here is that she's bringing up, I'm actually unable to. I'm unable to think. It's like I'm seeing Chronic Boom. Some other man has her. Ah, man. Ah. The sin of Candace Owens, as I wipe my tears, the sin of Candace Owens is to be claiming that she has something, not showing it. So it all started, by the way, it all started on a story that ended up proving Candace Owens was curvy and rounding onto reality. It all started where Candace, maybe a week or two ago, started claiming there is some letter that she wants to see between Charlie Kirk and Netanyahu. And it was claimed at the time that by seeing this letter, we would conclude that Charlie Kirk had a turn of heart regarding Israel. That was the claim as it stood 1 or 2 weeks ago. Now I was like, well, if you know the existence of this letter, it must be through some communication. Either you have a copy of the letter or Charlie Kirk sent you a message about the letter. So I was like, well, why not release what you have? If you're going to say, Right News Network, how do I send you bitcoins? My Bitcoin wallet is in the description below. And by the way, for those who would like to support the show, my favorite platform for super chats is Streamlabs. I am putting it in the regular chat, streamlabs.com/JFGtonight/tip. That is our favorite platform to receive support for the show. So that was the state of the claims of Candace. And then eventually we got a copy of the letter. We got a letter come out by Charlie Kirk. And it's a letter that's important to interpret. Because, okay, Candace is questioning, well, is it an email? Is it a letter that was sent in paper? Leaving these details aside, because, okay, perhaps the letter is not authentic. But assuming its authenticity, it's a letter in which Charlie Kirk was basically telling Israel, Netanyahu, look, you have a huge problem of image with the youth of America. And basically, America needs an intervention. It needs someone like me or some kind of group of public speakers, which is amazing considering that after the death of Charlie Kirk, basically Netanyahu followed up on this by starting to pay out influencers to be pro-Israeli. But the letter was kind of satisfying and disappointing in so many ways, and it's complex. Because you have to understand, it's not because you're sending a letter to Israel saying, I'm your friend, I want to help you do better on your PR. Let me help you. It doesn't mean that Charlie Kirk didn't have an internal change of heart. And it doesn't mean that Charlie Kirk had an internal change of heart. What it means is Charlie Kirk was there as a kind of negotiator in the middle, a broker. He wanted to broker to Israel that they could improve their position within the U.S. by using various strategies, including perhaps him. Perhaps if you interpret this letter as a kind of, look, you're going to have to fund me more because there's lots of work. Sometimes someone can send these letters. Now, he may have been internally having a change of heart. Of course, he was annoyed by the Jewish threats that he was receiving, which he documented live. So we know that Charlie Kirk was annoyed that his Jewish friends were going too hard on him whenever he was questioning or whenever he was drifting away from the official Israeli narrative. So that is what this letter revealed. Now, this letter still, if you interpret it primarily, if you look at it as it stands, it seems to be the letter of an ally of Israel. And so in a way, the letter does not satisfy what Candace Owen originally claimed about this letter, which is that, oh, you're going to see that he had a change of heart. Well, what I see in this letter is a Charlie Kirk that doesn't have a change of heart, still wants to help Israel, but is giving tough love to Israel and saying, look, you're going to have to work very hard because your PR is very bad right now. So we have here a first disappointment, an original claim by Candace Owen that didn't get fully met down the line. So today and yesterday, when Candace Owen goes live and starts claiming that I'm about to release video, okay? Okay. It's like, I'm going to tell you guys, I'm just about to release videos. I'm just going to drop videos. That's just how I feel right now. How disappointing is that? That you are now backed up in a goalpost move because we were told initially, well, the letters of Charlie Kirk will confirm everything I say. He had a change of heart. Now, the letter came out. Now you have something, you have another secret, a secret video. So basically the new claim by, and this is what's so disappointing with this, it's if you make a goalpost move, be sure to reflect it in your claim. Because your initial claim was, well, the letters will the letters will shed the light on the change of heart of Charlie Kirk. Well, they didn't. Now she doubles down and she goes further. She says now, 48 hours before Charlie Kirk was shot, he stated in some form to some people that he had no choice but to completely abandon the defense of Israel. Now, that is an even harder claim than the original one. The original one was some sort of change of heart, some sort of backing out. Now, the claim now is that within the 48 hours before he got shot, Charlie Kirk was saying, I'm dropping Israel under the bus. I'm not going to be pro-Israel anymore. I have no choice but to completely give up the support of Israel. Now, you have to ask yourself the basic questions of methodology and epistemology. How would Candace Owens know this? Now, Candace Owens, in her show, says, I'm about to drop videos if you guys don't say it. Well, if you have videos, why not release them? If you have videos, you know, at this point, everyone came out with their position on Charlie Kirk. Israel claims its legacy. He was a friend of Israel. Other people in the conspiracy sphere and Candace Owens and Max Blumenthal, they came out with an alternative narrative. The narratives are laid out. So you're not going to get people to... You're not going to get people to lie on this. The narratives are out already. There's no way for Candace Owens to compel TPUSA to come out with an explanation. And so if you have video of Charlie Kirk saying something to you, we need it now. Don't play this game of I'm about to drop the videos. Obviously, if you're not dropping the videos, it's because they're not satisfactory enough. And you are trying, this is what I would think that mentally Candace Owens is trying to get an admission from TPUSA that will be more revelative than what the video she has would be. If she has any video of any sort. What the fuck is this in terms of journalism? I will unleash a video. Unleash it. This is YouTube, girl. Stop producing the videos we don't want. Start giving us the videos we want. But given the past behavior of Candace, what can we conclude? Even if she had a video, she's been wrong about interpreting written stuff by Nick. She's been misinterpreting attacks by Nick Fuentes, and you know when Nick Fuentes does comedic stuff and. So she's been, and we've had an old show about this, about how she's kind of a psycho person. She takes some words and she extrapolates them in ways that I wouldn't. And she did that with the letter. So how am I supposed to believe now that it's not going to be the very same thing that happens to the video? Right News Network says, Max Kaiser made me rich at 50 cents a Bitcoin. While watching RT back in the day, normal IQ-ish, but lots of luck. Well, Right News Network, if I can count on your support, my wallet address is below. I truly appreciate any support you can send. I make a living out of trying to get to the truth properly. So other people were commenting on the letter, which is a great disappointment in the performance of Candace Owens. Laurent Witsk was saying, the letter is borderline treacherous, to be honest. Charlie Kirk's legacy is now dwindled down to 7 pages of how to deceive Americans into supporting a foreign country. It is true that if you take the letter at face value, this is what Charlie Kirk was suggesting. He was suggesting, let me help you deceive the American people into thinking differently from what they converge to naturally. Let me help you resell Israel to the young people of America. Now, that's the face value interpretation. You can have a 6D interpretation that Charlie Kirk, in the end, was trying to be polite, perhaps trying not to die, perhaps trying to... In the same way, you know, I approached Jeff Epstein with demands for money, and I got some money from him, and I was Jewish critical in my head already back then, although I wasn't publicly. I was curious about this whole, oh, there's a whole network of Jewish finances and they love to fund scientists and public speakers. So maybe you can interpret a complex psychology version of the letter and say, okay, maybe Charlie Kirk here was playing a game. It was like, what can I get them to do? What can I get them to say? And perhaps he had the change of heart. And whether he had or not, the question is, will we have fragments of him stating it explicitly or not? Because he died with what he had in his heart. He died with whatever it is that his set of convictions were. And that we may never know, because think about it. You don't even know these things about your friends unless they tell you. You don't know if someone has had a change of heart recently and you haven't been talking to them every day, you know, and maybe they did have the change of heart, but they don't mention it to you, or it's still working on the inside. So there is no way for Candace Owens to claim what she claims if she doesn't have something. And this refusal of releasing it tells me everything I need to know. That something must not be super satisfying. I will at least, I will work with this working hypothesis. I will work with this working hypothesis as long as we don't have anything else, as long as we don't have the material. Now, notice, so this is where poor journalism hits you right in the face, because you go onto these lines of thought of, well, does Tyler Robinson usually use the word vehicle? Because isn't it weird that he sent a text to his boyfriend saying vehicle? It's weird. It's kind of weird. You wouldn't be using that in an everyday language. And here Candace is absolutely wrong. Publishing demonstrably wrong conclusion based on something that was researchable and available to her. Here is the first major mistake of Candace Owen. Because you have to investigate everything in this job with the idea of, well, is there an easier explanation? Because the number of infinite branches that you can follow of knowledge that says, oh, well, maybe this is weird, or maybe this... If you don't have something that comes back to it and says, you know what, it's weird, but it's possible, and here's an explanation for it, you will get absolutely lost. And here, Candace Owen got absolutely lost because of a paranoid, poorly bounded brain.
There's old footage of Tyler Robinson that is now circulating from a car accident that he had. And during the discussion with the officer that showed up, Tyler certainly refers to it as his car, not his vehicle.
So imagine, what are the assumptions of your method? She claims that, oh, since we have this old incident video of Tyler Robinson, we can know whether he tends to use the word car or vehicle. But ask yourself, what is the precision of this method? It's one point in time in the life of Tyler Robinson. It boils down to, well, did he happen to use car on that day or vehicle? It doesn't tell you any statistical probabilistic knowledge about the likelihood that Tyler Robinson is of using the word car or using the word vehicle. John Drake says, Bitcoin has a first mover advantage, but it's the proof of work and network behind it that makes it best, and there is no number two. Yeah, someone was asking, why do Bitcoin maximalists shit on Monero? Yeah, it's just that any sort of dilution of the Bitcoin project of revolutionizing money is kind of anti-crypto in and of itself. I use the word crypto intentionally here. It's kind of a self-defeating argument if you say we're going to create a perfect money, but then you say, oh, here I have a second and a third perfect money and a fourth. Now you start to have the exact same problem that original money had, which is infinite printability. The reason Bitcoin maxis are so arch on everything else, and honestly, personally, I'm an enthusiast of ETH technology. I think it's great. And I think it has to be the future of at some point. But the question is, what is the fix to money? And the fix to money is the end of infinite printability. Now, you don't get the end of infinite printability if you're going to shill for some shitcoin all the time. So let's get to the statement. So she believes that, oh, we're going to look at this old video of Tyler Robinson. It's going to tell us whether he uses the word vehicle or not often.
Because that's how most Americans, how most English speakers refer to a car, unless they're in the military or on the police force. So here is 2022 police body cam footage, in case you missed that, of Tyler making a crash report. Take a listen.
Your mom's on her way?
Yeah, she's gonna be a minute. She's gotta shuttle over from where she's at to her car and then drive over.
Gotcha.
His mother was going to shuttle over from her car?
Mom's on her way?
Yeah, she's going to be a minute. She's got to shuttle over from where she's at to her car. And then.
So he's talking about the car of his mother, and he's saying car.
Gotcha.
His mother was going to shuttle over from her car?
Now ask yourself, Candace, rather than make this fucking idiotic face. Is it ever possible in some context to talk about a car and then another context to talk about a vehicle? What does the fact that he once used the word car inform you about the probability of him in other contexts talking about vehicle?
Interesting.
Yeah, I was looking up at the light.
Now, here's what Candace didn't hear. A few minutes later, he actually uses the word vehicle. So this is why methodology is important. You have to ask yourself, what do I know about this guy from this video? Candace Owen didn't ask herself this. What do I know? Well, the life of this guy is about 20 years or more. I know 2 minutes of it. He happens to use a different word than he used in a text message years down the line to his boyfriend. And in some other context where he may have been more tactically nervous, he may have been thinking in a police kind of way or in a military strategy kind of way. And there he used the word vehicle. But the reality is he actually used the word vehicle on the very video segment you showed us. If you had continued the clip down a few minutes, here Tyler Robinson uses the word vehicle in this conversation.
Just before getting there, okay. I saw it shift yellow, and as I get into the intersection, he bolts. There was a vehicle in the lane.
Is that something that you say? I'm just going to go outside to my vehicle. I left something in my vehicle.
Well, there he said it.
Saw it shift yellow, and as I get into the intersection, he bolts. There was a vehicle in the lane.
Is that something that...
There was a vehicle in the lane. So yes, it's something you say, Candace. Maybe it's something that Tyler Robinson, sometimes he has his mind more mom. Mom has her car. But then when he kills someone, when he just killed someone, he thinks more vehicle. I left my vehicle. He thinks more strategic. He's more nervous. And there he was describing the actions of someone else. He was talking about a vehicle to the policeman. Now, Right News Network says, spoke to the wife. If you get Max Kaser on the show, I'm giving you one Bitcoin. Bro, I am extremely interested in this. I will actually attempt to approach Max Kaser. I've never been chatting with him, but at this level of donation, I will absolutely do my best effort to get him. I mean, this is significant amount of money. If you were to give me one Bitcoin, it would literally guarantee me the rest of my streaming career up to my old age, and would allow me to pay a house to my children. So a Bitcoin is very significant as a donation. I promise to you that I will literally just dance. I will dance like Marty McFly in the Wild Wild West to attract Max Kaser here. Now, I don't know. Is he going to come? Is he going to think that I'm too controversial? I don't know. I'm going to try. He's always been, you know, this kind of... He's always been to me... I've not watched much of his content, but he's always been to me like some sort of eccentric guy. And he was giving out Bitcoin early in his days. I remember those early days where he would get on a show and he would drop a Bitcoin to the host. Or yeah, a great guy, ultimately. I never heard Max Kaser say anything that I disagree with. So I would be absolutely fascinated to have him on the show. I'll give that a try. Just some fucking guy says, but money supply needs to expand to accommodate a naturally growing economy. Maxis seem traumatized by Fed Reserve inflation and rode the pendulum swing into the non-inflationary hype. John Drake says, Max might toss you one as well, JF. He's a generous guy. He gave Alex Jones 10K BTC. Wow, wow, wow. I have to get this guy on the show if that's the case. Candace Owen, publicly challenging Turning Point USA. So here's, again, very poor methodology. I challenge you to say the truth about Charlie Kirk's change of art, or else I will publish a video that demonstrates his change of art. Well, what the fuck does that mean? If you have video, why do you need a statement from them? You're trying to get them to lie. You're trying to 6D chess your way into journalism. That's not how it works. First, if they're ashamed of anything that they want to hide, they just won't respond. You cannot compel people to give public explanations that you demand from them. So very poor. We already have one error yesterday on, well, he does use the word vehicle. And down the line of this vehicle or car question is a whole theory. Because it sends you in the wrong direction. It's the whole theory that the messages of Tyler Robinson to his roommate were fake. But then it sends you into, well, what? Are they fake in the sense that they deceive the policeman? Are they fake in the sense that they're completely made up? Made up by some FBI agent who wants to frame them? And now you have a conspiracy within the government to frame Tyler Robinson when he hasn't shot Charlie Kirk? I mean, you're opening such a line of, oh, holy shit, like, there must be 30 people that we can arrest with this line of inquiry. But see, it's all false because he does use the word vehicle. And so perhaps the government wasn't fooled and perhaps the texts are real. That's why it's dangerous, super dangerous to be so loose on your criteria for truth.
Charlie's perspective on Israel. Okay, so let me say this so you can hear it. Charlie Kirk's perspective on Israel was not starting to shift. It had shifted entirely, okay? There are no ifs, and there are no ands, and there are no buts about it. Israel knew that.
Now, isn't it fascinating that this was not even the claim 1-2 weeks ago? So 48 hours, it had shifted fundamentally. Candace Owens 2 weeks ago was saying, I believe, and I'm repeating exactly the words that she used. I believe that Charlie Kirk was at the middle of a spiritual awakening. That was your claim 2 weeks ago. And the claim was, you will see that spiritual awakening. You will see it if we get to that letter between him and Netanyahu. Now we have the letter. And the letter is, it's on the fence in terms of whether it supports your view, but you have to interpret this letter in a complex way, or whether it doesn't support your view. Now the claim just shifted. He was radically done with Israel. He was done. And he had communicated that he was done to these internal circles of donor and rabbi.
Turning Point USA knew that because Charlie was explicit. So my question is, why isn't Turning Point USA making any statements and shutting down this repeat attempt by Israel to lie and to pretend that towards the end, Charlie was just authoring love letters to Israel, giving...
Well, he may have been. That's the problem. Are we truly in a lie if Charlie Kirk actually sent that letter? You know, it's possible that you're not in a lie. It's possible that Israel truly believed in that letter. And it's possible that this letter isn't indicative of such a radical change of heart as that which you seem to believe in. So there's a distance to cross between maybe the reality was more complex, maybe it was more multifaceted than what one player, Israel, can know about it. And maybe Israel was getting those very, very ally-type friendly letters from Charlie Kirk. And so therefore, maybe they're not lying. Maybe they're claiming the legacy of Charlie Kirk in the best way they think they can. And maybe they're convinced of what they're doing. Maybe they're convinced that Charlie Kirk didn't have this change of heart. Now, you know what would fix this? You know what could help everyone be on the same harmonic frequency? If you released whatever evidence you have. If you released whatever evidence you have, perhaps Israel would have to acknowledge, oh, see, we didn't know, but Charlie Kirk had a massive switch of heart, massive change on his stance 48 hours before he got killed. But as long as you don't release this evidence and you demand that somehow TPUSA has to come out and what? They don't know that the letter is a lie. They don't know that the letter is false. So what are you demanding? That they speak for Charlie? They cannot do this. Perhaps they don't even know what was in the heart of Charlie as he died.
Them a perspective of here's how we can win here's what you guys need to do. You need to work with this Hillel, whatever it is. Yeah, the same people that are calling me anti-Semitic, you need to work with those people harder. And he was just putting it on paper. Was it an email? What was that they were sharing? The New York Post, the Israeli Post, right? What were they sharing there? He wrote of his deep love for Israel. He had nothing else to do in May. Wrote of his deep love for Israel to a letter to Netanyahu. Netanyahu said they were close, but in the letter, Charlie puts his number, which apparently Netanyahu didn't have his number. And we're supposed to believe, did he send that as an email, by the way? Can somebody clarify, was that an email they were sharing or did he send it in the mail to him? Could somebody share that, please? I'm assuming it was an email. Can someone share the timestamp on that? Just kind of like authenticate that email because I'm very aware of what's going on. Okay. And I don't.
You're aware of what? You are demanding technical metadata detail about the email. Do you know whether it's true or whether it's false? If you know it's true, then why are you raising these? What about the timestamp? Was that an email or in paper form? Was it true or was it false? And if you claim that it was false, I need to know how you know that. methodology. How do you know that?
Know how the executives over at Turning Point USA sleep at night. Okay. I don't know how you can present yourselves as a Christian organization and not be dedicating yourself to the truth. No matter what the cost is, you tell the truth. That's it. Okay. You don't hide it. You don't try to obfuscate it. You don't try to say, well, wait until the memorial event before we start looking into who murdered him. You tell the truth and you tell it immediately. And I don't think.
But do this for, at least live by your own standard. At least live by your own standard. Tell the truth immediately. What is the truth, Candace? What is the video you're talking about? Show us.
I think they're capable of doing that. And I have an idea as to why that is. I think the same people that were pressuring Charlie are pressuring them. In fact, I know that for a fact. So they might need my help. Okay. I'm going to state this and I'm going to challenge Turning Point USA executives to.
The thing is, whoever took over this operation will probably have less of a heart to challenge and disrupt than Charlie Kirk. So your game is already lost here. These institutions, they have their guys in place. They have their agents of the system to ensure that they're taken over in a kind of hostile manner. You will have lost control of TPUSA, and whoever, even if it's currently the wife of Charlie Kirk who has ended up a CEO of it, that may be temporary. I think it is temporary. But whoever she gets swindled by will be more pro-Jewish than Charlie Kirk. I can guarantee you this. There is a kind of entropic direction in the world where men of testosterone and men of balls are so rare that they can't possibly have secondhand pursuits of their will. And therefore, it is absolutely certain. And in fact, you've already seen it in the fact that Candace Owens wasn't invited as a speaker. It is already the fact that TPUSA has been taken over by forces that will not leave space to Candace Owens. She is not welcome anymore. She never will be. Dino Raja sends $20 on Rumble. Thank you so much for the donation. He says, a little support for your streaming. Thanks for another great show and hope to see you continue for a long time. Well, Dino Raja, very appreciated. I really need the support of the people to keep going in my quest.
You issue a very clean statement saying that I am lying if this is not true. About 48 hours before Charlie Kirk died, Charlie informed people at Turning Point, as well as Jewish donors and a rabbi, that he had no choice but to abandon the pro-Israel cause outright. Okay.
Do you have this letter? This is fascinating. This is important. What do you have from this letter? Do you have a communication from Charlie Kirk? Do you have a phone conversation on video with Charlie Kirk? Or do you have a copy of the letter? Charlie Kirk would have said that he abandoned completely Israel in writing in a way that is demonstrable today. That is huge. But we don't have the evidence. That is huge. Big if true. Big if true.
Hey, Charlie was done. He said it explicitly that he refused to be bullied anymore by the Jewish donors.
So that's a reference to him saying this on the show, on the Megyn Kelly show.
Can you guys answer? Did he express that? Did he also express that he wanted to bring me, Candace Owens, back because he was standing up for himself? And then did he, just 48 hours later, conveniently catch a bullet to the throat before our onstage reunion could happen? It's a yes or a no.
So here there's an implication. But again, with these implications without evidence, and maybe there's a video, but I'm not showing it right now. We don't know what to think anymore of Candace's implications. But she is saying explicitly, Charlie Kirk said, I'm dropping Israel under the bus. I'm done. Okay, that is a big if true. Big if true. Now, there's kind of an implication that there was a plan to reunite Candace and Charlie Kirk on stage. Did that leave any trace? Are there emails about this? Are there conversations? Are there statements by Charlie Kirk that are in line with this? Are there organizational plannings, discussion with staff of TPUSA? That would be important to know. But because Candace is there making her implications loosely and adding an interrogation mark, isn't that true? Isn't that true that he died before we could have a reunion on stage? Isn't that true? Are you going to tell me that this did not happen? Or did it? Maybe it did. How am I supposed to process this? How are we supposed to process this bullshit? It's like, what is she trying to... Is she trying to spread the peanut butter infinitely thin? Is she just trying to make more money? Because I don't like to attribute, monetary incentives, dirtying the actions of people, because honestly, I've been making money in my life and never has money changed my will inside of me. Never led me to break on my promises or hide about my true direction or true thought. So I think that money doesn't corrupt as much as the conspiracist would like you to believe. Money corrupts weak arts, but money never corrupted me. And I know that there's some level of psycho bitchery that Candace has probably reached in her life that where money cannot really put her off track. I think that she's on such a quest that she feels is moral and righteous that there's very little chance that money would change her behavior. But what is she doing? She's spreading content. She's dripping. That's the word. She's dripping, informational dripping, with question mark instead of clear statements.
Okay, let's stop this ditching. Let's stop the dodging. Let's like explicitly, I want to hear from Turning Point USA that I'm lying about that. I want you to say, no, it was just, he was feeling a little bit of pressure. No, I want you to literally answer what I have just said. It either happened or it didn't. I'm either making it all up or it happened exactly as I'm saying. And while we're at it, may I ask, what is the name of the Jewish donor who sponsored the Hamptons weekend? Okay. And to Pastor Rob McCoy, were there any LLCs that you or your son were being paid through that sat outside of Turning Point?
Now, this is important. It's important as part of the cui bono analysis. Who would have wanted Charlie Kirk dead? Who would have benefited? Who was shocked by the recent changes of heart of Charlie Kirk? I want to know all of this. Now, as far as we know, there's Bill Ackman. That was his house in the Hampton that was organizing some sort of meetup. And then Bill Ackman was also funding part of this focus group and exploration into the next generation and their relationship with Israel. So Bill Ackman is the answer that she's looking for, or is she looking for another one that was potentially collaborating with Bill Ackman?
I'm asking that question genuinely. Yeah, I'm putting the fire here right at the feet of Turning Point because I am disgusted. I am genuinely disgusted.
So what she's expressing here is that she feels disgusted that TPUSA isn't pushing harder in her direction, in the direction of, we won't be satisfied with just a Tyler Robinson story. We want to know if there was some interest that have funded this killing.
Dusted. I am looking around and wondering whether Charlie's entire life was the Truman Show. None of you guys are behaving in the way that you should be behaving, okay? There is no way you are letting these lies fly. Unless, as I am hearing, unless it is true that there was a big, big, big payday that was on the line. And if Charlie radically stated, But he was done with Israel. If Charlie said he had no choice but to abandon the pro-Israel cause because of, and I quote, Jewish donors, the behavior of Jewish donors, if he said that, yes or no, well then, I don't know, maybe some people didn't want to take that risk that he was coming.
Now, what she is laying out here is shouldn't be mixed with factual reporting, but it's important still to consider. Is it possible that let's say you put aside the Israel conspiracy, like Israel sponsored Tyler Robinson? Put this aside. Is it possible that there was so much money in the bag? Is it possible that there was so much money at play in the relationship with Israel and as it related to the potential future or non-future of TPUSA, that internally, the bureaucrats of TPUSA would have had an interest in killing Charlie Kirk before he fully declares publicly, I'm dropping Israel under the bus. It's an interesting theory. I wouldn't put it past these bureaucrats who they become dependent on an organization. Can you imagine? Like, you're making a lot of money. You're some high position guy. You're some high position guy in the TPUSA organization. Maybe you're making $300,000, $400,000 a year. And eventually you become bigger than just a human. You are the employee. You are your title. You are everything that TPUSA made you to be. And perhaps there is a point at which you become so rich that you're essentially an internal gangster of TPUSA. And you're essentially looking at Charlie Kirk and seeing him as, I won't let this guy too loose on the leash because my money and my livelihood depends on him keeping it straight. And so you have this whole thing that happens institutionally where the CEOs are very often the founders, the CEOs. They're very often very creative people, a little out there. They don't care that much about social. They have the whole CEO psychopath kind of personality where they're willing to commit a couple of social wrongs and they're not sheeps. And Charlie Kirk was certainly one guy like this in his heart. Not a man to submit. A man with principle. That's usually what's big enough to found and create a whole thing from nothing. That's the kind of brain you need. Now, very often what happens is that you get taken over from the inside. You start having staff that are controlling your image. You start having a makeup artist for your public appearance. You start having even research people dedicated to finding what you should think. And these CEOs are, okay, let's do it. Okay, so I have my five assistant staff researchers. And is it possible that this relationship of I'm below you, but I control you? I'm below you, but my livelihood depends on you not fucking up, on you not becoming one of these dirty anti-Semites? Is it possible that this would have created enough internal turmoil at TPUSA that you have basically a bureaucratic takeover from the inside? And absolutely not out of the possibilities, by the way. This has happened again and again in the history of corporate businesses. It happened to X. People will remember X was taken over by an Indian guy from Jack Dorsey. Jack Dorsey was ousted progressively. Elon Musk was ousted to a certain extent of PayPal. This happens again and again. Just some fucking guy, says Jeff, is describing topping from the bottom. So, that is a valid line of thought from Candace, but we are outside of the factual determination still. So, let us then analyze the absolute ridiculous focus of Candace on a side story of this whole thing. And this is why I say her work is weak. her work is weak, as we've seen at the beginning, because it's just factually wrong. Tyler Robinson used the word vehicle before. Are you going to change your view about it now? Are you going to admit that, oh yeah, you know, maybe these texts, we should assume that the police is not so incompetent as to have been fooled by false texts? Maybe these texts are real. So maybe we can stop sending the crowds of the internet in false directions in their research. That was her first error. Her second big violation of journalistic standards, and I don't even mean journalistic in the sense of New York Times journalism. I mean it in the sense of just fucking streamer decency, for Christ's sake. Streamer fucking decency. She refuses to show the video or the evidence that she has, but she demands that somehow other people that may not even have this video or this evidence, that other people come to confirm her stuff. Well, show us what you got. What do you have to lose in showing us what you got? Are you afraid that it's too weak, just like your letter turned out to be? Are you afraid that it's incomplete? We know how to interpret incomplete and weak evidence. We know that if Charlie Kirk just texted you quickly, hey, I'm about to drop Israel under the bus, that would be a gold mine of information. But we need it. We need it on the public space. Because I don't care if the text isn't super clear. I will be able to derive the circumstances in which Charlie Kirk may have said this. But I need it. And I need you to stop Candace being out there saying, I'm about to drop videos. Because you're frustrating the audiences. The audiences are then coming to me about how I should believe your theories. But I have no basis for it. Now, Candace here goes on to a totally parallel story about a politician, a local politician who allied with a nephew of his, who is a streamer, or he was a rising just journalist, like, you know, journalist with phones, a citizen journalist. He tried to start a Twitter account in which he went to walk around the path of Tyler Robinson from the university to the woods and then to the neighborhood. This politician then acted weird with one of the informants of Candace Owens that she calls Nick. It's not Nick Fuentes, okay? She calls the informant Nick. So there was an informant on that street that was giving feedback to Candace Owens, saying, oh yeah, this is how things are organized. This is how the house looks. And do you want me to go look for this? He was a local Utah guy willing to be dedicated. And this guy, this Nick, turned out to be also the ex-employee or ex-volunteer to the political campaign of this local politician. This local politician is Phil Lehman. Now, after Candace Owens started asking questions about this politician and his relationship with the nephew and the fact that the nephew had made a stream about the house and the house security video that we saw, and it seems that a lot of these house with security videos were family members and very close to Phil Lehman. In fact, Phil Lehman himself, the politician, appears on Fox News at some point and says, you know, on this security camera, that's my car. That's my car and that's my aunt's house. So Phil Lehman had a lot of footprint in this area. He is a politician who had a gubernatorial campaign. I think it didn't work. I don't know the details of him. But Phil Lehman basically had a lot of footprint in this region, so that a lot of his family members end up being the very people who captured the shooter on video. And he ends up publicly on Fox News commenting and saying, Oh, did he say that's my vehicle or did he say that's my car, Chronic Boom? I don't know. I don't know. We have to research. Now, see, that's the problem of ADHD procedures that is totally the kind of brain type of Candace. You get attracted to sidetracks, and it's okay to be attracted in investigatory ways. But public communication is a different game. Public communication, you have to go back to what you really know. And you have to label it if you say that's a hypothesis. It's a hypothesis, okay? You cannot give this female confident, I'm about to release video. You cannot do this when you're in hypotheses. So this whole parallel story with Phil Lehman, a nephew. And so the nephew starts a kind of Twitter channel. He's with two of his guy friends. They film themselves in the famous stairs of Tyler Robinson, the killer. They film themselves walking on the street. And I've seen that stream myself. They film themselves on the street where you see all of the houses that the shooter had to cross by walking to get to his shooting nest. Now, Candace starts sending crowds after these guys because she's like, oh, there's two guys on the picture of your nephew. And they're standing in the stairs. We need to make a background check on them. I just need to figure out who these guys are. So now she's going after the streamer's friends. And it turns out that one of them is from overseas, some kind of Austrian or something. He has this whole Chad, European, Austrian genetic look to him. Okay, and then there's the other guy that, oh, he's a goth. They search for this guy. They traced him down into a goth beekeeper society in Utah. And I just want to show you how following a parallel trail of information that doesn't matter. This all happened after the shooting. These people are just streamers. They're probably trying to rise and to surf on the popularity, and they're habiting close enough to this region that they can go there by foot or by car. So they go there and they film and they try to become social media sensations. Of course, it's gonna go viral. It's the street that Tyler Robinson had to walk to go shooting Charlie Kirk. And then she complains that they delete their social media. But it's like, you sent enormous crowds after these guys who may not have been fully aware that they were not prepared to become public personalities. You know, young men, you think, oh, I'm going to be famous. Let's go do this. I'll take a couple of pictures. Oh, isn't that the stairs where Tyler Robinson was seen by security camera? Let's take a picture of ourselves. But then it turns out maybe the Shane guy, the nephew of the politician, maybe this guy wanted to become a public personality, but maybe the two guys beside him weren't too much into it, or maybe they haven't thought it through. Let me tell you, not everyone is ready to be a public person on the internet. And most people will try to dip their toe in it and they will go out in shame. I have seen so many of them. I used to have skeletons behind me. I used to have a list of people I have kicked out of the internet out of shame. Feminists that I was owning with arguments. Crowd and tea. When you start getting pushback from the internet, that's where your personality shows and you determine, am I made for this? Am I ready for this? So the fact that they deleted their social media account once Candace Owens started digging into their life to the point of finding that they were part of a fucking beekeeper society. Maybe that's where they got nervous, you know, and it's not necessarily indicative that there's a conspiracy. Maybe they just got nervous that, oh, I didn't expect that the popularity would be so instant and so hateful toward me. Let me delete all my social media presence because I don't want this. But look at this segment. I mean,
that you had this weird thing about bees and you thought there, you know, there was something else going on. And my goodness, you guys, I almost jumped when I learned that that website he was referring to, Buzzard and Bees, is a gothic underground.
So Candace is making the connections, okay? There's a gothic underground party scene that happens to be named after bees. And there was some other event in her research in which there were beekeepers involved or people who were part of a beekeeping family. And she's like, bees, bees. I almost couldn't believe it when I found out that their prom part, their goth prom parties had a name that related to bees in some form. Because we've been through beekeepers before. This is called seeing connection. It's almost synesthesia. It's like, okay, there's these two events. They may be related in some indirect form. Maybe the guy organizing the gut parties is the cousin of the other guy that are doing beekeeping. Maybe they know each other. Maybe they don't. Or maybe one influenced the other by developing a passion for bees. And then when they started their dance party gut events, they decided to name them after bees. Like, there can be all sorts of connections. But you can almost be certain that these connections are absolutely fucking irrelevant to Tyler Robinson and who killed Charlie Kirk. This is what I'm trying to say. It's very important to know what is a valuable piece of coincidence and what is a valuable piece of information.
In Provo, okay? So this is the website. It's a gothic underground of all things in Provo, the website Buzzard and Bees, and they're speaking about a gothic prom. That is where that person's face comes up, except he's wearing makeup to make him, well, look a little more gothic. Take a look at this. I'm going to show you the side-by-side.
So let us be clear about what we're doing here. There's a politician who was shocked by the murder of Charlie Kirk. This politician has a nephew. This nephew knows the area because he knows it, because his uncle owns a lot of the houses. And, oh, that's my aunt, and that's my father, and that's where I live. The nephew makes a stream about, hey, let us retrace the path of Tyler Robinson after the killing. We're not in the nephew here. We are with a friend of the nephew. A friend of the nephew happened to have a blue cap in the stream. Candace Owen wants to know who that is. Candace Owen wants to know who that random guy was that decided to walk alongside the nephew of the politician that was shocked by the death of Charlie Kirk. And she uses all of her technology and her crowds to find this guy as being on a picture of a goth scene party, beekeeping society of some sort. Those are people who have no link to the murder other than just like Candace, just like me, and just like everyone in the U.S. They were interested and curious about it. And because they were local of the area, they did a stream where they have recollected, they have rebuilt the path of Tyler Robinson. What does that tell me? Why is this being reported on a primetime national attention level show on YouTube? What does it tell me that this guy with the blue hat was a goth that maybe has participated to one goth party in his life or many?
Of this individual, and I am certain, can't say 100%, okay, because we need to find this person's name. But this is a match, okay?
I am certain not 100%, but it's a match.
Ears, the chin, just everything about this individual is a match. But he is, as of yet, identified as a goth, unidentified.
So now we have a whole, branch of the internet artist that will be dedicated to finding who that gothic person is. For what? He's made a stream. He's appeared on a stream where he wasn't even the main streamer. He was perhaps there by curiosity, but it was a stream after the events. It won't inform us about the events.
Gothic person, and he is also, as of yet, unidentified as the close friend of Shayna Broderick, who cannot be found anywhere else, or people are not familiar with this person. So I'm thinking maybe he also came from overseas.
So see, and the stack of probabilities here, very dangerous. Because if you start with, well, I'm not 100% sure. So let's say you have your, let's say you're 75% sure. Okay, I only have 25% chance of getting something wrong. Now you add another probabilistic thinking. Well, if no one has found who that guy is, he must be from overseas too. What is that probability? 50%? Like it's almost not a fact. It's almost not a fact that you happen to have not received information about this guy. So it's an absence of a fact. The absence of a fact is not a very reliable way to conclude anything positively. So, okay, let's say it's 50%. Well, now you have 75% possibility on your assurance, your certain call. Then you divide this by half because it's 50%. Now you're talking about conclusions that you're drawing at the 20 to 30% certainty level. Just because you combine two probabilities, suddenly you're in the lower tail of things that are really not certain and they're really not relevant. What is the purpose of sending your crowds to believe this stuff rather than focus on what matters? Because the whole idea that there would be some degree of institutional sponsorship of any kind, even a lone wolf institutional corporate actor somehow causing this shooting. Even if that was the case, then what would we want? We wouldn't care about the beekeeping society. We wouldn't care about the gut party scene of Utah that ends up filming the trajectory of the murderer down the line. We wouldn't mind about whether this fucking guy is from out of sea, from some other country, from Austria. What would matter is, what is the evidence that Tyler Robinson received some input? And then it boils down to, what was the relationship with Lance Twiggs? What did they talk about? Did that leave traces? What are the groups that they were interacting with in the last few months? What are the actual things that were left under the keyboard by Tyler Robinson to Lance Twiggs, other than the already claimed letter? Why did Lance Twiggs destroy the letter and just took a picture of it? What are the channels of money that exist between Tyler Robinson, his known crypto wallets of any kind, as well as future streams of money toward Lance Twiggs? Those are the questions that need resolution. The Austrian streamers have nothing to do with it. The fucking bees have nothing to do with it. Chronic Boom says, bees don't leave exit wounds. Indeed, they don't.
Now, quickly regarding our question pertaining to Mike Mitchell, right? I was saying that it was pretty odd and obvious that they were trying to protect this detective Mike Mitchell. We also learned that he's a Boy Scout leader.
So that's another example where they're falling into improper thinking around privacy, desire to hide the privacy of someone, protect the privacy of someone. So she's alarmed that in this whole exchange that happened where Tyler Robinson was with a friend of the family that was an ex-investigator, a former investigator of the police force, she's alarmed that the police force tried to hide his name.
In the LDS church, but usually if you have a long tenure as a police officer, you're just featured in a lot of articles. And then we received some leads that I think have helped to clarify exactly what sort of a detective he was and maybe why he was not featured in a lot of articles, because he was, as it appears to be, a undercover detective. By all accounts, he was an online detective. Apparently, if this is the correct Mike Mitchell, and given the timeline of when he becomes an undercover detective, I have a strong hunch that it is the right individual, because he says, you know, he was on the force for 25 years. This individual began his career in 1999. His job, Detective Mike Mitchell, was to create messages online to entrap pedophiles, okay? By pretending that he was underage. You guys know, you've heard about these sorts of stings. You pretend that you're underage as an officer and see people that try to hook up with...
Now listen to the jump that's about to happen. This is where the psycho behavior just shows up.
With you, and then you make an arrest. And so we can take a look at this article from November of 1999. It says, police...
Okay, so the guy that helped Tyler Robinson surrender peacefully to the police was some investigator doing the whole pedophile stuff, the whole, you know, being on the internet, acting out like he's a 10-year-old boy, and catching pedophiles with this.
Surf internet to snag pedophiles, and it tells us that Mike Mitchell sits at a desk tapping on a computer keyboard and becomes a boy. He's chatting with someone now. His words are full of typos and misspellings and childlike phrases. Mike Mitchell is not a boy. He is a police detective hunting for a pedophile, but the hunted doesn't know that. Mitchell, a detective with the Salt Lake County Sheriff's Office, has been investigating child sex crimes on the internet for about a year. I don't think people realize how big it is, he tells them. Okay, so that's interesting to me. Okay, and we can't then go, okay. Well,
here, it's coming. Get ready for it. It's like there is a circle of pedophiles that's about to be captured by the brain of Candace Owens.
Make a jump here. Just because he's creating messages online, first and foremost, doesn't necessarily mean that he's the person that authored the fake Fed messages. And I'm not implying that, but I do actually.
That is just one step. Okay, we're one step into the craziness. So, but she's telling you she doesn't believe that. But like, who in his right mind would think, oh, well, he was making fake messages as a fake pedo to capture pedos 10 years ago? Therefore, maybe he made up the fake messages of Tyler Robinson to Lance Twiggs. Okay, totally beside the track, but at least Candace here is saying, I don't believe that. Okay, then what do you believe?
But it was quite interesting because when we covered George Zinn, who was the decoy boy that day, who then we find out is into pedophilia, right?
It's just like the bees. A bee here, a bee here. Synesthesia, the psychotic, paranoid synesthesia. The fact that these two ideas are somehow linked. There is no link between the beekeepers and the God scene that happens to be named Bee Something. There is no link because there's a pedophile that has put himself in stardom situations throughout his life, has always been wherever there was trouble. George Zinn. just like the QAnon shaman, always there to make trouble wherever there is trouble. He has a CV of it, literally. The fact that he's a pedophile has nothing to do with the fact that the family member of Tyler Robinson who helped him surrender investigated pedophiles. He was into stopping pedophilia. George Zinn happened to have child porn on his phone. Mike Mitchell happened to be a friend of the family of Tyler Robinson who could help him surrender. Absolutely unrelated.
Right? And he gets arrested because he has children being sexually abused on his phone. Absolutely despicable person. It really made us wonder. Again, I said this on a previous episode, whether or not he had been blackmailed in some capacity to play the decoy boy and to give the shooter time to get away.
And here I pause at the crazy eyes because this is crazy. Now, whether George Zinn was commanded by forces is an interesting question. Was he ordered to be there to do that? That is a very interesting question. We must dig the facts. That means examine his phone, know all of the ins and outs of George Zinn. That's how we're going to determine this. The fact that there's an ex-pedophile investigator that ends up appearing somewhere else in the story is unrelated. Like, imagine the twist of fate that you would need to have so that not only is the Utah ex-former policeman who surrendered Tyler Robinson, not only is he an investigator of pedophilic content in the past, but he also was part of a conspiracy to cause this whole decoy situation with George Zinn. And he was in charge of then collecting back Tyler Robinson and surrendering him alive to the police. That is way too much of a long shot. And Candace only does long shots. That's why it's so dramatic. She only does this all day throughout her show. It's long shots after long shots after long shots. Oops, two IDs sound like each other. They must be related. No, they don't have to be, Candace. They don't have to be, and you should not assume that they are. You should start with the assumption that they're not.
I just find that to be interesting.
And when they said, I just find this to be interesting. Nothing. I'm just commenting. No, you have a public responsibility. The brains that are listening to you, some of them are more schizo than you are. And you have a minimal responsibility to understand that your public communications have implications. You are implying some form of a conspiracy of pedos and pedo blackmailers. That's what you're doing. That's what you're doing. So, you will lose credibility by doing always the longest shot, like you do when you mention the trapdoor and you start exploring, well, the bullet from below theory. When in fact, all of the evidence points toward, and the audio evidence already points toward a long shot from a distance from the front of the neck. We are losing credibility when we are being replaced by people like Candace.
A lot of stuff happening right now, guys, and we are definitively getting closer to what took place on that day. And we have a lot of leads that are coming in. And I want to say that I want to refocus your attention and now open this up internationally, because I have a hunch on who that goth kid is. Okay. Somebody attended this goth prom in Provo, Utah.
Now we're like, you could trace the whole life of this guy. It wouldn't matter to Charlie Kirk's death, unless he's some sort of super agent of psyops and he's there to deceive people with a stream after the fact. You could retrace the whole life of this god guy who just had the misfortune of being a young man and seeing one of his friends, Shane, trying to do a stream about the road and being caught up in a kind of viral moment on the internet that they probably couldn't handle. But you're if you don't have evidence that attaches this gut guy to the murder itself, to the moments of the murder, then it's all invalid. She comments on, oh, maybe he looks like the guy that they claim is Tyler Robinson in The Stairs. That's not enough. That is not enough. Holy shit. What bullshit world do we live in where such parasitism is infecting our epistemological process? I'm dying from it. I wake up in the morning depressed that we can't even touch the truth. We're in absolute shit. We live in a sewer.
Somebody overseas perhaps recognizes that person. Like I said, I would venture a guess that he is not from Utah because I've never seen no hits come in. Somebody saying I went to high school with him.
I would guess that he's not from Utah because I've never seen someone from Utah who people didn't write to me about. She is fascinated at the lack of knowledge she has. She's like, oh, well, no one is sending me an email. Therefore, he must not be from Utah.
And that's what I want you to focus your attention on. tips@CandiceOwens.com. Again, reminding you guys, please do not send us, because we're such a small team, please do not send us TikTok videos and saying you should watch this or, you know, look at this theory. Reserve that to simply tagging our accounts when you are on those specific apps. And we will pick up from there. We got to get into...
All right, so that is it for my review of Candace. She has to up the standards because this is exactly the paths that were taken in Pizzagate, and it leads to a lot of people believing a lot of false stuff, and it's not productive. The productive directions for this investigation are the ins and outs of Tyler Robinson, the possibility of finance repercussions for Lance Twiggs, the possibility of finance repercussion for anyone in the TPUSA organization, if you want to open it that large. But you're not going to find stuff by looking at the streamers that are commenting on the murder. Like, it's not going to happen. It would be absolutely stupid for an international intelligence agent to show themselves smiling in a picture of a random teenage young adult kid. It doesn't make sense. And what she reproaches to the behavior of the politician in this situation is the politician knocked at the door of her source locally because somehow the politicians guessed from her description of her secret source in Utah. The politician was able to guess that it was one of his ex-employees. And he started nervously looking at the window. And he said, and he started basically scolding the young boy who was helping Candace and saying, what team are you on? Now, what are you after? Why are you giving me trouble? Why are you giving my nephew trouble? Whatever, he said. Basically, a kind of visit for warning. That doesn't sound too... This guy was probably alarmed that a bunch of schizos are starting to believe false stuff about him and his nephew. So he got nervous and he went to see his ex-employee and say, are you the one dropping all this information? So Candace has to understand better the forces that she's waging. She's playing with a wizard staff level 25, but she's playing around like this, and this guy got nervous and started, maybe he's the guy who counseled his nephew, close your social media accounts because we're getting in trouble now. There's people hating on us. There's fans of Candace going after us. It's not worth the viral moment. It's not worth the public attention. That seems to be what the behavior is. That seems to me to be an explanation of why this politician went to the young boy. this is not an indication of a conspiracy or of him being part of the murder. Again, this is what happens when you focus on the streamers of the events rather than the event itself. You need to focus your mind on the event itself and the kind of evidence that will be inevitably attached to the event itself. Not circumstantial stuff, not stuff about other people maybe being interested in the story afterward, not even people trying to deploy fame and viral moments out of it. They're not the ones to be looked for. If there's someone who got away with sponsoring this murder, they are being secretive about it right now. And you will only catch them out by seeing the actions that they have done before or after the murder. That is the way you do proper investigation. Candace Owen, again, E- for your performance. What a bad behavior to be had. Quick review of the news before we close the show. President Trump signs executive order boosting pediatric cancer research with AI, unlocking $100 million immediately. I'm not super enthusiastic about this. It's going to be money thrown at the health research system, the academia. I think they have lost the plot. And it's going to be like, oh, will you save a couple of children from cancer? Maybe at the end. But you're going to also birth more children with more cancer into the future, because then you will have removed an evolutionary force that keeps cancer in children low. The more children you save with cancer, the more children cancer you cause, whether you like it or not. Trump's former campaign manager has registered as a foreign agent for Israel in a $6 million deal to develop and execute a nationwide campaign in the United States to combat anti-Semitism. So see, this whole idea of that Charlie Kirk maybe was expressing in that letter, there are other people stepping in, like this weirdo Brydon Hollihand. We can make whole shows about this guy. Because holy shit, what has this guy ever thought? What has this guy ever done? We can comment separately on this guy on a separate show, but wow, you can see the rats coming in to take their last bite of the corpse. Marjorie Taylor Greene, paid social media influencers should have a signifying badge or different color check mark informing the public that their account is paid for their post. Just like broadcasters have to say, this message brought to you by, social media influencer accounts should have to disclose that they are paid. And they are all types of paid influencers, political, corporate sponsorships, and even foreign government. Absolutely. I've been demanding this for years. Why don't we have something that tells you where people come from ideologically, what is their finance, what is the source of what they do, what is their beliefs, what is their ethnicity? I think you should know. You should know. Am I listening to someone who's like me? Am I listening to a political enemy? Am I listening to a foreign influence operation? We should know who gives us the cultural ingredients that we insert in our head, in the same way we know the ingredients of what we eat. Relatively good news here. FBI formally rejects the ADL partnership amid extremist group controversy. So the ADL is losing power. They had gained a lot of power under Biden, and they had been brutal in getting people like me canceled from social media. But they are now losing power because people saw through the bullshit and they saw that it was ultimately Israel going at its enemies in various ways to give them trouble. And they have even backed out on their catalog of hatred symbols. I expect that their footprint in society will lower and it will be less and less respected. And thanks in part to Elon Musk, because Elon Musk pushed against them and he said, look, you're pushing too much. But it's also thanks, I mean, not to, to have false modesty here, but it's also thanks to people like me who have shown that these people will go after all perceived enemies of Israel and they will treat them unfairly and they will lobby and pressure something like YouTube to censor me. And in a way, Elon Musk kind of unlocked the possibility of, okay, now your life won't be destroyed by the ADL or the SPLC because we will not follow what they say. And now the FBI is doing the same. It's good because FBI was really stuck into a culture of kneeling and saying, oh yes, the white extremism is the greatest threat to North America ever. And now they will have to step out of this. That is good news, although, you know, those are small victories. In the end, justice has not fully been reimbursed. As long as I don't see a blue check mark on Nick Fuentes, as long as we can't stream freely on YouTube without business interference, without constantly rug pulls, deleting of our channels, and, oh, we're making a new rule now to shut you up. As long as this is not obtained, freedom has not been achieved. Much love to everyone. Thank you for watching tonight. Tomorrow, I'll have a routine medical exam, so I'll try to come back in time to do the show. I don't know if I'll be back in time to do the show. Hopefully, I will. So maybe tomorrow a show. If not, then the next day. Much love, and I'll see you all soon.